He wasn't able to get back to Newcastle from a trip elsewhere. He wasn't going to be able to get back in time. But a very short notice, I'm very pleased to say that another councillor and long-time PSC supporter, which is Anne Schofield, has agreed to step in David's place. So we're very pleased that Anne's able to contribute to this evening's meeting. Anne.
Thank you. Well, I'm sorry, you were going to get the cake and you were going to get the bread and margarine because, you know, I learnt this morning that David couldn't come. But it's a great privilege and honour for me to come. So your loss with him is my gain, if you see what I mean. So thank you very much indeed for getting in touch. So it's all been so eloquent, and never go last, because all your best ideas have gone, of course, you know, and your best points. But so I'm going to sort of keep to a very practical thing, if I can. I've been out in Palestine. I've been a long supporter of Palestine from here and with various organisations. But I am absolutely clear that there is nothing like going out and seeing it for yourself to really make it unequivocal that evil is being done. You cannot get away from it, whether you're looking at the demolitions of whole villages, the Bedouins in the desert, whether you're looking at the military courts and Palestine children, some as young as nine, which I did, some as young as nine, who were shackled together with squaddies, squaddies with shades on their heads, you know, sort of really enjoying themselves, pointing their guns at the children. It was, for me, a defining moment going to the Ofa court. But also just seeing there the attacks on the education of Palestinian children. And in fact, it has been said by quite a few politicians on the right in Israel that that's the biggest weapon that there can be against Palestine, is to stop the education of children, because the Palestinians are one of the most literate countries, peoples in the Arab world. So all of that is really shocking. But I think the real big shock for me was the setting. And I think this bears repeating, and I know people who went with us will say the same, that the idea of a settler, you have the sort of west of America, you know, and sort of coming over the hill on their ponies or whatever, you know, and the big tents. It isn't like that. They're huge towns, and they're massively significant in the way that they are carving up Palestine. And it's all being done administratively. So there's a lot of people in the settlements who don't realise the role they're playing. They just think they're getting a nice home, they've been allowed to come back. And that's quite difficult to take on board, really. But they are absolutely crucial to what the Israelis are doing, which is to use them to grab land. This is not about religion. It is about land grabbing. And all the facts show that. And when you're there, it's visually very obvious. And the other thing that when I was there, which I know quite a few people have experienced, is you stand there with a real sense of impotence. Why am I here? It's like a sociologist who's going out to look at Toxteth. You know, in Liverpool, I remember, most sociologically looked at place in England, went out to Toxteth, made fantastic names for themselves. Toxteth didn't change. So I had this real sort of sense of what I call observer embarrassment. I felt I shouldn't be here. That money would be more usefully. And I was taken, well, I think I was taken apart, actually, by a person working in the one of the refugee camps, who said I was just being indulgent. He said, just stop it. We need you here. We need you to witness. And we need you to sort of actually take part in things. So I've then become very close to that refugee camp and support young children in a basketball team, which I've managed to make a link with Newcastle. Not strong enough, but it's growing. And they're called the Ramallah Eagles. So I've achieved a tiny bit about it. So, but I just think it's important to put it in the context, because mine is limited and it's not as strong as yours. And I certainly, when I'm with Palestinian and Jewish friends and colleagues, I am aware how limited my view is. And so I take that very seriously. So having put it in context, All my working life, I have worked against racism, misogyny, and all forms of oppression and discrimination. They are wrong, and they are evil, and their impact on individuals and people and communities is profound. And I think that has been a guiding light, if you like, for me. I put anti-Semitism in this category, and I think it's just been so eloquently discussed now, I'm not going to say more about that, because I absolutely agree with what you've said. But I don't challenge that it's wrong, and has had appalling consequences for many Jews across history. I do, though, contest that much of the media frenzy we have seen on the run-up to the elections was cynical, forms of what Chomsky called manipulation strategies. They were put in place to discredit the PCS, to distract from Jeremy Corbyn's political success, and the rise of the left and its principles and values generally. Evidence of this is clear from the way that a tsunami of accusations against Corbyn and the left vanished quite suddenly with the local election results. Fascinating to watch. And a part of the media, however, has obviously playing a role in keeping the strategy of keeping the public ignorant and actually getting the public to accept mediocre reporting on the whole wider issue, particularly about Israel's military occupation of Palestine, the siege of Gaza, and the reduction of Palestinians living in Israel to second-class citizenship. This includes, and I think this is really important, because whereas I think our media is much of it is complicit in what is happening, there are some very, very brave journalists, and there is a war, I think, against those journalists who are reporting the terrible atrocities. And I just want to say, on the question of anti-Semitism, in my ward there's 50% BME communities, and the real fear in my community is Islamophobia. People are really very frightened of what will be said about them, whether they will be attacked on the streets. So I think we have to bring that out very strongly as well. I was actually on the May Day rally, and I held the banner with Alex and others, and we were labelled anti-Semitic in the press, and people have said a lot to me about that since. Well, I slightly wore it as a badge of honour. I just thought, well, if holding a banner is going to get me... And then I was appalled by my arrogance, really, when I know so many people who suffered and died for that. So I've been pulled back into thinking much more about that sort of role. Anyway, I do think that what we've got is a debased democracy being set up in Israel and being allowed to set up. And these delusions of the war on terror that our government is actually taking on. And I think we need to unpack that as well. Well, the slurs haven't worked. Corbyn is the only politician, I know of anyway, to be arrested for anti-racism, and his actions across many years when outside the limelight are testament to his belief and disgust of those who indulge in different forms of racism and other forms of oppression. Now, with Corbyn, I really want to respect and recognise the courage of many Jewish people who have challenged and are active against the repression of Palestinians, and who are real allies to Palestinians, and I would put the BDS movement in that grouping. One of the things that's really important, I think, is the way linking, and I'm glad you're back, Shamel's back, bringing things together, making links, and supporting the approach that we are seeing a growing movement of recognising the ills that have been done to refugees and recognising our shared humanity. I think that is a very important thing. So I just thought I'd say, why do I support the BDS movement? Well, it makes the struggles of Palestinians part of a wider global struggle for justice and peace, which I think is essential, because it was being put into a corner of a small sort of part of the Middle East. It's strongly and publicly against the military occupation and colonisation of Palestine and the policies of racial discrimination and ethnic cleansing, particularly in Jerusalem. And it's against Israel until it complies with international law, and this is often forgotten, that actually they are working outside international law and against international law. And secondly, despite the condemnation of the Israel state policies by UN and other international bodies and human rights organisations, the international community, which I feel very much a part, has failed to hold Israel to account for its crimes and enforce basic principles of international law. BDS, shaped by a human and civil rights-based approach, is highlighting the experience of the three sections of Palestinian people: refugees, those under military occupation in West Bank and Gaza, and those Palestinians in Israel, who, as I say, are now regarded as second-class citizens. I think it's also been really important in opposing very well and well-researched way the growth of the of Israel's political, racist and oppressive political forces, which are supported by some governments, and I'm sad to say, including our own, which I think is absolutely appalling. And those forces, which are trying to show that they are a democracy, I think they are a debased democracy, but that's another for another argument, I think. But they're stopping the Palestinian right to self-determination and the right of return of Palestinian refugees. And nobody who's been to Palestine refugee camp can not be moved beyond tears, really, about the key that is so important to refugees. Many of them still hold the refugee from the Nakba, when they lost their homes, when the massacres, and some of the refugee camps have actually got a huge iron key as a symbol of return, and I think that's very important. The other reason that I really support the BDS is it's based on the politics of human rights. It moves right across, but at the bottom of it, the underlying premise is human rights. I think also it's challenging, and I think this is now still controversial, but is, I think, in growing agreement on, that the two-state solution is no longer relevant to peace in the region, because Israel doesn't respond to diplomatic pressure from allies to change course and make those two states possible. It's also been very, very important because of the way it has actually brought international sanctions to stop occupation and conflict and oppression by Israel through the Israeli settlements, Gaza, under siege, and the relentless ethnic cleansing in Jerusalem. And if anybody thinks this is just about Jews and Muslims, we had here a visitor who was a Palestinian Christian, and her stories of the oppression that her family suffered were exactly the same. The other thing I think is it's a young movement, and I say this with some humility. It's a young movement, and so what we're getting is a lot of internet savvy people of the new generation. In Palestine, they're not accepting the constraints, and they're building up different forms of resistance, but it also means that they're able to take on the old world order and work across nation borders. And I think really it's the high visibility and significant success in boycotting companies trading with Israel, especially in the arms trade. So for me, the three planks, which is why I think it's so important, it brings together civic groups, trade unions and academic institutions to bring pressure on mainstream politics and on the media. And the links that are being made through the BDS to global capitalism are essential. I wanted to end with Bertolt Brecht. Sorry. He maintained that the Germans were the first victims of Hitler. The rest was history. Israel, I think, should take note of that, because their country is without doubt suffering from the hatred that is being developed, the culture of fear. And I think we should take note of it as well, and we should support the BDS.
Thank you.